Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
2 Timothy chapter number 1, and I want to give you a little thought out of here tonight. I'm going to probably slow down a lot from the way that I normally preach just talk to you a little bit out of this verse. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. I want to read one verse to you, and that's verse number 7. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 7. The Bible said this, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now note, God takes something out, fear, and He replaces it with something, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about overcoming fear. Overcoming fear. Father, I love you tonight, and I thank you, Lord, for being good to us. God, thank you, Lord, for the great weekend that you blessed us with. God, I thank you, Lord, Father, for our choir, Lord, that's worked so hard this weekend. And, Lord, our musicians was here all Friday evening and late Friday night, and then back early yesterday getting ready for the choir coming. And, God, the ones that prepared the meal. God, it's just been a great weekend at Amazing Grace. And I say thank you for it. It's been a long weekend, but it's been a great weekend. Lord, I say thank you for a good church, Lord, that wants to work, that wants to better themselves. Lord, I sure do appreciate that. I pray, God, that you'd help us as we preach tonight. Give us the words of Christ in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. And let me just say this briefly again right before I preach. But thank you so much, church, for being here this weekend, for working hard this weekend. And Friday night, there was some of y'all here till late Friday night. Then Saturday, they started early Saturday morning cooking, musicians coming in working, working all day on Saturday into Saturday evening, and I really do appreciate it. I mean that from the depths of my heart. Thank you so much for doing that. Let's look at this verse tonight and see what we can learn out of it. The Bible said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." 2 Timothy is Paul's final and most personal letter. A lot of people think that Titus is that, but honestly, whenever you study it out, you'll find that Titus was written in between 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, Paul is writing from prison to his protege, Timothy, likely near the end of Paul's life when he writes this to us. Paul urges Timothy, now listen to this, to preserve in the gospel, to persevere in the gospel, remain steadfast in his ministry, and not be ashamed of suffering for Christ. Now, I want to say this to you. There is times that we endure the Christian walk and not always enjoy it. And you say, "Preacher, what do you mean about that?" I simply mean this. There's some days that's dark and it's really not an enjoyable day. I thought about this over the past month to 6 weeks, the days that I've been with Brother Robert and the homegoing of his wife. And some of those days, man, I didn't come home. I didn't come home, Brother Aaron, and go, "Man, it's just been a wonderful day." But I want to say something to you tonight. We can still, in the midst of the trouble, we can overcome fear, and Christ can help us with it. As Paul writes to Timothy, he emphasizes strong faith, endurance in the face of hardship, commitment to sound doctrine, in raising up faithful future leaders. Paul, Paul's message is to hold true. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed, and stay the course, even in the midst of persecution or false teachers. As a matter of fact, one writer said this about 2 Timothy. He said, Paul is saying to Timothy, be faithful to Jesus, guard the truth, endure hardship, and watch this, finish well. finish well. That's what he's saying to him tonight. When you come to the book of 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, there is a lot that is said about faithfulness. Watch this, chapter number 1. There is faithfulness in the field. In chapter number 2, there is faithfulness in the face of fear in chapter 1. In chapter 2, there's faithfulness in the field of serving God. In verses 1 through 4 of chapter 2, there is the fight of a good soldier. There's the focus of a dedicated worker. There's the fortitude of the faithful. And there's the faithfulness in rightly dividing the word of truth. In chapter number 3, there's faithfulness in a fallen world. There is a perilous period. There's a persecuted preacher. But listen to this. There is powerful pages that we have in the word of God. Amen. In chapter number 4, there's faithfulness to the finish. Boy, I want to say this to you tonight. I want to be faithful to the finish. I don't want to be a has-been. I don't want to fall out by the wayside. I don't want somebody to say, Brother Jonathan used to serve God. I want to be faithful to the finish. Thing about this, in chapter number 4, there's the focus of the minister. There's the finality of Paul's fight. There's the fellowship of the ministry. There's the faithful Lord who stood by him. And I want to say this to you tonight. God will stand by us and help us to remain faithful in these days. Remember Jonathan Bass, in recent days we've talked a lot, and today we was talking, and Brother Jonathan, I was telling him what I was going to preach tonight, and he was telling me some things he had preached today, and here's what he said. He said the answer to all the problems of anxiety, all the problems of discouragement, he said, honestly, preacher, the answer to every bit of that is found in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 7, because God didn't give it to you. The fear, now I understand. Matter of fact, Ecclesiastes closed out this way. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. That is a reverence to God. That is an awe. Whenever you study that Hebrew word out, it's an awe to God. But when we come to this verse, it's a completely different fear. It is a fear of something. And here's what Paul says to Timothy. God has not given you the spirit of fear. Again, there is a reverence, and that's in place. But we do not have to live a life of fear, church. Some people, man, I'm telling you, I talk to some people and they're scared to death. They're scared to go here. They're scared to go there. They're scared to get out of the house. I'm going to tell you, man, if 2020 done anything, it birthed fear in everybody. But it's not of God. God says you don't have to have that. Let me show you two or three things tonight and we'll go home. Number one, note the recipients of this. Who can claim this verse? Well, the Bible said this, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Who is us? Paul is talking to Timothy when he's writing to him. And here's what Paul is saying to young Timothy. You don't have to fear. So who is the recipients? It's this, it's the saved. That's who it is. Paul is not talking to the lost man here. The lost man cannot claim the promise of 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 7. Why? Because the recipient of this verse is the saved man. And if you are here tonight and you're saved by the grace of God, then this verse is for you. You say, preacher, I'm here and I'm not saved. Well, I've got real good news. John 3:16 said God loved the world and he gave a personal sacrifice for you. Romans 3:23, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, sins brings death, but thank God, the gift of God brings eternal life. Romans 10:13, if you'll call on him and ask him, he'll do it. So the recipient is a saved person. But number two, and this is, I want to spend a little bit of time here, but I'm really headed to number three. There's the removal. Not only the recipient, but there's the removal. God says this, God hath not given a spirit of fear. what God dispels is the spirit of fear. He said you do not have to have that. Fear is a natural emotion, but is not meant to be a permanent operating system. Can I say that to you again? Fear is a natural emotion. It is an emotion that when something scares you, it's a natural emotion. But fear has never been set in place for us to operate as a permanent operating system. God does not want you living a life of fear. Think about this. There's a distinct difference between experience fear and being enslaved to the spirit of fear. You know what many people are today? They're enslaved to the spirit of fear. You know what doubt is tonight? Doubting salvation? It's a spirit of fear. They are enslaved to that. Hear me and hear me well. The Word of God tells us how to be saved. If we do what the Word of God says, then we'll be saved. You don't have to live in that. You choose to live in that because you are not allowing God to remove the spirit of fear from you. Fear, when it becomes a spirit, manifests itself in several ways. Watch this. Apprehension, it's a paralyzing anxiety. It's what it does. That's what fear does. You know what anxiety is a lot of times? It's a fear of the unknown. How many times? You've heard me tell the story. I'm probably the only man. And Jonathan Bass, probably the only two men that shut down Charlotte Airport back-to-back one day. I'll never forget that day. I flew all over the world. That day I got on the airplane, I sat down, and whenever I sat down, there was a very healthy person sat on this side, and I'm not talking about they had been eating fruit, they'd been eating beans and taters and chocolate. And a very healthy person sat on this side, and there I was, pinned in the middle. I didn't have much of a seat. They took a lot of it. And then I was right behind first class, so there was a wall right in front of me. Man, I'm going to tell you, I sat in there, and we was late getting took off. I thought, we're going to get stuck in Chicago. I'm going to have to spend the night in Chicago. If you've never been stuck in Chicago, you've never lived. But I have, and I don't want to live there like that again. I sat there, Brother Lloyd, and the longer I sat there, I thought, man, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. So, Brother Aaron, you know what I started doing? A lot of people wouldn't talk about this because they're too much of a man. They've never experienced fear. I don't care what you think of me, all right? You know what I done, Brother Aaron? I went, they said, breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. And it wasn't working, Brother Ted. I sat there a little bit longer, and finally I told that guy beside of me, I said, you stop that man whenever he walks back by. He said, well, what's wrong with you? I said, man, my chest is hurting. I can't breathe. I think I'm having a heart attack. Well, that guy walked back by. He went to the front, old boy sitting there beside him. He wasn't stopping him because he's afraid he's going to get stuck in Chicago too. They pulled out onto the runway. They started to rev the motors up. They will stop a plane sitting on the runway. You say, how? Stand up in the middle of the aisle and scream, I'm having a heart attack. I promise you the motors will let down and they'll pull off the runway. You say, how do you know? I heard a story about it. Man, they pulled back up. Paramedics come on the airplane, got me, took me off. There's a whole lot more to that story because that guy that was supposed to be the stewardess or the waitress or whatever it was, whenever I told him I was having a heart attack, he went into an all-out panic attack himself, and he wasn't a country boy like I am, if you understand what I'm saying about that. He was not a country boy like I was. He got on the intercom, he hollered and said, is there a doctor in the plane? This guy come walking up to the front, and he looked at me, and he looked at him, and he looked at me, and he said, do y'all have an AED on here? It was it, man. I'm coming home, Esther. I thought it was over with, I'm just telling you. And let me tell you what that was. It was the spirit of fear. That's exactly why. It wasn't nothing of the Lord. It was not one. God did not. It's like Brother Ben said this morning. We give the devil a lot of credit and said, you know, the devil fought me because I run out of gas coming to church this morning. No, you just didn't put gas in your vehicle. I'm going to tell you something. God didn't cause that in my life. Let me tell you what it was. It was an anxiety, and they said that I had a panic attack. I said, you're crazy. They said, well, what's wrong with you now? I said, it's healed. I prayed, God touched me. I got off the airplane. I was standing in the airport, and the airplane went back out to the runway. And I thought, Jonathan Bass is on that airplane. I stood there and watched. It pulled out onto the runway. It turned around. It come back to the gate. Jonathan come running off. Preacher, what's wrong with you? They said you had a medical emergency. I said, man, I'm all right now. The Lord's healed me. What is it? It's a spirit of fear. And I'm going to tell you something, church. We can laugh about it. We can pick about it. We can cut up about it. But the truth of the matter is this: God's not in it. And what does he say that he will remove? He will remove a spirit of fear. Watch this. There's apprehension. How does it manifest itself? Apprehension, there's anguish, emotional collapse under pressure. There's avoidance, the refusal to act out of insecurity. There's agitation, the unrest that erases your clarity. There's alienation, people pull off from everybody else and gets to themselves. Why? Because of fear. Because of fear. Here's what I come to tell you tonight. God said he'll remove that. You do not have to live a life of fear. There's recipients, there's removal, but watch this. Here's really what I want to talk to you about for just a minute. There's the replacement. There's a replacement. We preach all the time, and I'm the world's worst sometimes to preach to young people and say, get these things out of your life. And you need to. But you got to replace it with something. You got to replace. If you're going to get bad music out, put good music in. If you can get a bad attitude out, put a good attitude in. Are you with me? So God says, I will remove this from you, but in doing that, I will replace it with something. Now, I'm interested in what God wants to replace my fear with. Know what he says. He says this: God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God says, I will take your fear out, I'll give you power, I'll give you love, and I'll give you a sound mind. Whenever I read that and began to think about that, here's exactly what I thought about. Man, what a picture of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Let me show it to you. The replacement is this: power, and that's the strength of the Father. There is a lot of things that I cannot do on my own. And let me just say it this way. When it comes to the service of God, I cannot do it on my own. When it comes to preaching the Word of God, I cannot do it on my own. Every time that I get ready to preach, man, I get sick on my stomach. I get nervous, Brother Josh. I'm fearful of what I'm going to say. But hear me and hear me well. When I approach the sacred desk in the right manner, with the right preparation, and the right time in prayer, let me tell you what the Father does for me. He replaces my fear with power today. I thought about this. You do not fight with your own strength. God's power equips you for what you've been called to do. In trauma, trial, turmoil, the saved have a supernatural reinforcement in their life. But the Bible said this in Psalms 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. Why? Because he takes our fear out and he replaces it with the power, the strength of the Father. The strength of the Father. In myself, I would do a lot of things different. I would do a lot of things different. Brother Jonathan said, we was talking today, and he made this, and I know I have talked about this so much in the past few weeks, but I just can't get it off my mind. But Brother Jonathan brought it up in this. He said this. He said, preacher, he said, that's the reason it's so important that we walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let me tell you what it is. When we're walking in the Spirit of God, we're removing fear from our life. We're realizing that there's a lot of things that in ourselves we cannot do, but in the strength of God and in the power of God, He gives us the ability to do it. So He removes it and He replaces it with power, the strength of the Father. Watch this, number two. He replaces it with love, the sacrifice of the Son. He takes fear out and puts love in our life. I know we joke sometimes and talk about the old song, what the world needs now is love. And I'm not all into the hippie movement. But let me tell you what this world needs today. They need the love of Christ. Love, that's the sacrifice of the Son. We are shown, hey, Christ exemplified love. And so many times, I want to say something to you. You can take a stand for what's right and do it in love. And do it in love. You've heard me say this many times. There's people at our sheriff's office that lives a completely different lifestyle than I do. But you know what? They know that I love them. They know that I'm there for them. Matter of fact, just the other day, completely out of the blue, blowed my mind, one of them called me because they was going through a hard time. And you say, well, preacher, what did you do? Tell them they need to get their life right and get right with God and get saved and escape hell? No, here's what I said. I know somebody that'll help you during these hard days in your life, and you'll never experience the strength of God until you give your life to Him and trust Him. We can say it in the right way. Fear can be removed and love can be put into our life. I thought about this. God's love is not a sentimental, it's a sacrificial and strong love. Fear cannot coexist with love. Perfect love cast it out, according to 1 John chapter number 4. And you know what perfect love was? 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, perfect love cast out fear. Let me tell you what that perfect love was. Here's what it was, church, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What is that perfect love? It's this. For wherefore by one man sin entered in the world, and death has passed upon all men for all have sinned. But He goes on to say in Romans chapter number 5 this. Also by one man we are freed from that. In other words, by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are made free from that. That is perfect love. And that perfect love dispels fear. Fear, what is it? It is replaced with power, the strength of the Father. Fear, what is it? It's replaced with love, the sacrifice of the Son. Number three, watch this. It's replaced with a sound mind. A sound mind. That's the stability of the Holy Ghost. That's the stability of the Holy Ghost. I was talking to the Sunday school class this morning, and I said, not long ago, I was dealing with a situation, and I just told a guy, I said, man, you make me want to run my head through the wall. You say, well, you ought not be like that. Well, pray for me, all right? I told him, you make me want to run my head through. Some people you can't talk to. You just can't talk to them. They know everything. They've been everywhere. They know everything. They're better than anybody else. They're the most powerful Christian that's ever walked the face of the earth. But they hadn't read that in Proverbs where he talks about pride being one of those things that God hates. And he that soweth discord. I'm preaching good. So, man, you just make me want to run my head through the wall. You ever felt like that, Brother Lloyd? Can I tell you something? Let me tell you what God will do. He will replace that with a sound mind. With a sound mind. The Holy Spirit grants mental clarity, emotional stability, and spiritual perspective. That's what the Holy Ghost does. We're living in a society today. We're living in a society today that's crazy. They're crazy. I'm just telling you. My wife and I was talking just this week, and there's so many, and I want to be careful what I say, but at the same time I'm going to say it. There's so many, let's run here and get diagnosed with this, and run there and get diagnosed with this, and run here and get diagnosed with this. And I understand that there is times, okay, I understand there is times that we need that. Okay, I understand that. I'm not against doctors. I'm not against medicine when it's used in the right perspective. I'm not. But listen to what I'm fixing to say. Let me tell you the problem with a lot of people. They just don't have a sound mind. And the reason they don't have a sound mind, watch this, is because the Holy Spirit's never moved into their life. Because the Holy Ghost never moved into their life. The Holy Ghost don't move into your life till the day you get saved. Now, I'm not saying that if your mind, my mind goes plumb crazy sometimes, that don't mean I lose my salvation. But it does mean this: when I fall on my knees and I say, God, I need some help. I need some strength. I need some encouragement. I need you to give me the words to say. Let me tell you what God does through the work of the Holy Ghost. Here's what He does. He gives me a sound mind. He gives me a sound mind. What does He replace it with? He replaces our fear with power. That's the strength of the Father. With love, that's the sacrifice of the Son. With a sound mind, that's the stability of the Spirit. Miss Daniel, come start playing softly. There's the recipient. There's the removal. There's the replacement. But then watch this in closing tonight. There's the response. You say, well, what's the response, preacher? That's on you. That's on you. That all depends on what you do with it. Are you with me tonight? God said, here's what I'll do for you. It's just up to us whether or not we're going to trust Him for it. Are we going to trust Him to take fear out of our life, or are we going to just continue to live in fear? Man, I'm telling you something. Fear is awful. Fear is awful. And it's not of the Lord. I remember right before we built this building, and some of you heard me talk about this just briefly. I remember right before we built this building, man, the church was going good, and we had actually got the drawings together. We'd got we'd been approved by the bank pretty much. Everything was on track. We hadn't set a date to break ground yet, but everything was on track. And our family and I went off for a few days. One of my aunt and uncles owns a place at Atlantic Beach, and we'd went down there for a few days just to get away. And I remember one night, Brother Matt, I woke up in the middle of the night. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I don't stay up. Man, 8:30, 9 o'clock, it's time to go to bed. I'll get up at 4:30 or 5 o'clock with you, but when the sun goes down, it's time to go to bed. Are you with me? So I'd already been asleep a while. And I woke up. Man, when I woke up, I just can't explain to you the feeling that came over me. And I thought, here's exactly what I'm going to bankrupt the church. We're going to build a building and there ain't nobody going to come. And I'm telling you, all night long, I laid there, Brother Josh, and battled that. You said, well, I'm going to tell you exactly what it was. It was a demonic attack is what it was. If you're saved, he can't possess you, a demon can't, but they can oppress you. And it was an oppression from Satan. Man, I laid there, and finally about 5 o'clock I got up. I went out on the deck, and I thought, man, what am I going to do? My mind was running 197,000 miles an hour. And this verse came to my mind. God's not given us a spirit of fear. God's given us a sound mind. Here's what I done. Walked back in the room. There was a big deck off the master bedroom there where we were staying. I was standing there looking at the oceanfront, standing there looking at the ocean. I walked back inside, and I put my earbuds in, and I turned the Bible on, the book of Psalms. and just started reading or listening to the book of Psalms. And here in about 30 or 45 minutes, I dozed off. I got on up that morning, and I called Brother Cox. It's who I called, Brother Darrell Cox. And I said, "Preacher, I need some help, man. I need some help." And he said, "Son, God don't give you fear, and God don't give you confusion." He said, "Tell me what God gave you to build the church." I give him the scripture. He said, "Tell the devil to go back to hell and leave you alone and go on do a work for God. God will remove that from your life, and God will replace it with a sound mind. But the choice is yours. It's up to you. God gives man a free will. And as long as you know what? I could have went the rest of that week and been miserable, Brother Mark, and come back home and said, "Look, God shut this thing down in my heart. I don't think it's right. I don't think we're supposed to build." Matter of fact, I probably wouldn't have been here. God would have probably moved me from here because I missed His will so big for the church. But what did I have to do? I had to take God at His word. I had to take God at His word, and I had to trust Him. If you're living in fear, it's not of God. If you're living in confusion, it's not of God. It's the devil, and we've got a response to make. Can we take Him at His word? And if we will, He said, "I will give you a sound mind." Your mind don't have to be a mental ward. It can be sound in Him.